We're now going to come to our Bible reading, which is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. And I hope you have your Bibles with you and open up. And Poppy Samson is going to come and read that for us. So thank you, Poppy.
Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Good morning. Before we dive into the passage, allow me to say that we really appreciate your prayers and your welcome. And Friday night, how much we enjoy your welcome and thank you for all the warm welcome and the preparation that's gone behind. And we thank you for the privilege to come and bring God's word to you today as well. So we really appreciate for the privilege of letting us come. Shall we ask God for help as we open this word? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you give us all the things that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. You give us instructions and commands and encouragements and all these things in your word, in your revealed word of the scripture. As we opened Matthew 28, starting from verse 16, we pray that you will open our hearts and mind and help us to be challenged, edified and comforted and give us boldness and help us understand to gain understanding from this passage, what you mean and what you meant for, not only just for the first reader, but for us today as well. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just adjust this a little bit. I tell you, there are benefits of being slightly shorter. And this is just great. Yeah, perfect. But we are all made different, aren't we? Yes, my introduction has really began at the all-age spot. We are made different, but we are all made for the purpose of glorifying God. And that is our ultimate purpose. And we will see that from this text today as well. Before we move into our text, let me just paint quickly the background of this passage. Obviously, this is the end of Matthew, but this is really the climax of the book of this gospel. We really come full circle. I'll explain what I mean. So if you look back, the very beginning of this gospel, you will see the beginning or the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and so on. So Matthew purposely started this gospel with Abraham. What did God promise to Abraham? You know, the story of Abraham from Genesis 12. 13, 15, 17, and 18. God said to Abraham that he will make him the father of a multitude of nations. In fact, we can even go back all the way to the beginning of creation, where God created Adam and Eve and said, "Multiply and fill the earth." God's purpose is to make the whole earth his nations, that people will be his glory, that all the people in the world will glorify him. And we can trace back all the way to Genesis. And now Matthew is coming back in a full circle. Now here, look at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ is to make all nations the disciple of Christ. So from this passage, we will see that the reason Lord Jesus Christ command his disciples to go to him and to go for him. If you're going to make disciples for Christ, there's two essential, foundational, very basic, yet really, really important things. Go to Jesus and go for Jesus. This is a real privilege, isn't it? That we have that privilege to make disciples for Christ. We ask the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some said doctors or some said sailors or whatever. But for anyone who is a disciple of Christ, we have the privilege, this immense privilege of making disciples of all nations. At the same time, this is really a daunting task, isn't it? A daunting task. How can someone, a church, an organization can make disciples of all nations? What does it mean for us from Bluntisham, from this town or this village or from this church? How can we be a part of that great privilege and great commission? If you look at these just five verses, few in words, and yet it has immense, profound impact on hundreds and thousands and millions and billions of people, people's life. It brings people from darkness to light, from death to life. Because many disciples of Christ have obeyed these commandments. Many disciples have risked their life to obey this command and take the gospel to other nations, into their village, into their community. If you look at this passage, just about 80 words. The first half is about 30 words. The second half is about 50 words. And we will look at them together. So if you have your Bible, please do open your Bible or turn on your Bible. It begins with this word. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. There's a business of going, isn't it? Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. What is this going to Galilee? If you just turn back to a couple of pages in chapter 26. Look at chapter 26, starting from verse 30 and 31. This is in the context that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. It was his last night. He had the Last Supper with his disciples. He knew he was going to be handed into the enemy's hands. And he said to his disciples, I know you will fall away, verse 31, because of me. And his disciples, one of whom, he said, no, I am not going to fall away. I'm going to give my life. You know who I'm talking? He was so bold, he would take his sword out and he just went for his neck to cut off his head off. But fortunately, just the ear, he missed the neck, right? He said, no, we are not going to fall. But Jesus said, I know. It is written that I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. So Jesus has already said in this context, this is the context of failure. This is worth noting. Jesus said, I am going to go before you to Galilee. Let's pick up after the resurrection. Go back to chapter 28. Now Jesus has been risen. And the ladies went, bring some spices, expecting there would be a tomb with the dead body of Jesus Christ, hoping to put some more spices. The last things that they could have done, that's what they were expecting. But in their surprise, angels met them. What did the angel say? Look at chapter 28, verse 7. Or I can read from verse 6. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. So they departed. And Jesus himself meeting those ladies again, just 2 verses later, and said, greeting. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will, there they will see me. You see, this is not an accident. Jesus already planned. And now the angel said to the ladies to tell his disciples. Jesus himself tell the ladies again to tell the ladies. Tell my brothers. I want to see them in Galilee. So this going to Jesus is really important. Foundational. If you are going to go for Jesus. That is our first step. And verse 16 tells us, the disciples went. They went to the mountain to which Jesus had designated for them. They went in obedience. So, this could have been the third Sunday, because the first Sunday, the first Easter we know, he was risen from near Jerusalem where he was buried, and he met with his disciples in that house according to John. And the next Sunday, he was there again, appearing to his disciples. Remember, Thomas was there that time, not the first time. And he ascended from near Jerusalem from a mountain. He was there 40 days. So this could have been about the third week around that time. Could have been what Paul said about the 500 brothers appearing, Jesus appearing to the 500 brothers in 1 Corinthians 15. So there Jesus meeting many of his disciples, about 500 in numbers, couldn't be near Jerusalem because we are three in Jerusalem in Acts. There's about 120. So this is more likely where most of Jesus' ministry happened, near Galilee. So he had many disciples around that area. So he met and he instructed these, what we call the Great Commissions. So he asked them to go there. Go and see me. So what happened when they went in verse 17? When they saw him, basically, they went there and they saw him. If they didn't go, they wouldn't see, right? It's simple. Why didn't Thomas didn't see Jesus in the first Easter? Because he was not there. Seeing Jesus is important if we're going to let other people see Jesus first. If we are not going to see Jesus, we do not have any business in showing Jesus to others. They went there, and what they do, the first thing is worship. Seeing Jesus always results in worship. Seeing Jesus truly, genuinely results in worship. You remember in the second chapter of Matthew again, the wise men or the magi from the east, when they see the baby Jesus, what happened? They bow down. They saw Jesus and they worshipped him. Coming together, seeing Jesus, worshipping is the first step if we are going to make disciples of all nations. But some doubt it. What a spoiler, isn't it? What some doubted. But this is also really the the truthfulness of the Bible, it records what it is. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew records what happened there. Obviously, not the 11 disciples doubted because they have seen, they have spent some time with the risen Lord. Like I said, remember, there's like 500 people who had not seen. They didn't have Facebook or they didn't have cameras. So they probably had some rumors. You know, Jesus actually was killed and but now risen again. Like, we have not heard of anybody rising from the dead. Can it be true? But let's go. He said, through his disciples, to meet him there. So they went there. They actually saw him. Probably saw him, his bruise, his marks. Couldn't believe it. Can it be true? But some doubted. But what Jesus said, the next breath. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What a comfort that it must have been for the doubters. So why do we gather? Why do we go to Jesus first in the first place? Why should we go to Jesus first before we go for Jesus? Well, first, this is because we need reassurance. We are doubters, aren't we? Like those disciples. We doubt sometime. Reassurance. We need to go to Jesus. The world can give you some kind of assurance, but Jesus gives us true assurance. Second, restoration. Remember, Jesus spoke these words going to Galilee in the context of failure. We are called saints, and yet we're not glorified or our sanctification is complete yet. So we need restoration each day. We need Jesus for our restoration. We failed very much like the disciples. The world might cheer us on to keep going, but true restoration is only found in Jesus. Not only that, it is obedience, isn't it? Going to Jesus, gathering with other brothers and sisters, we are commanded in Hebrews chapter 10 not to neglect. And here we see Jesus is commanding them to go to Galilee to meet with him. If we are commanded by the Lord who defeated death, who rise again from the dead, who has all power and authority, would we not gather together? Would we not go to him? This is in obedience that we should go to him first if we are going to make disciples of all nations. Now, go for Jesus. Go to Jesus is the basic foundation. The 101. The second part, let's look, verse 19. It said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that all I have commanded ye, and behold, I am with you always, the end of the age. Go for Jesus. Go, that is the first step. Make disciples, that is the purpose. Baptize, that shows the testimony. Teach, that is the way forward. Sometimes we are confused with this. Some people, like when I was in seminary, we were so concerned with what is the main imperative. And we said, yeah, the make disciples is the main imperative, and that's what we should do. And we forget, like, the goal or the baptizing or the making discipleship, the making disciples. But it really begins with the go. Go. There's four doing words. It begins with the go. For some people, it might be going to other nations, other country, I should say. But what does it mean for us? Maybe it means that we go from our home, or we go in our home. We have other families, family members who do not know Christ yet. or begin with our children. Or maybe we have phones. How can we go and share the gospel with somebody in our town? Maybe just by texting them. We make the initiative. We go. Otherwise, unbelievers run away from God. They will not come. That's why Jesus said, go. Our going might be different, but that is the first step. Christians are the going people. When I was young, teenage, a local mission group used to come and they would do the fundraise for mission work. And one of the things that they had a tagline which was quite successful for them was, will you go or will you give? The Bible said to go. But they would say, but if you can't go, you can give. You know, obviously, everybody can't go like some people go or like we go. They have jobs, they have their family, they have their elderly parents, young children, all sorts. They cannot go. They know that. And many people I saw, out of their poverty, they would take off their watch or their necklaces or their gold jewelries and even their jackets. That sounds quite appealing, but that's not what the Bible says. Going is for everybody, not just for missionaries, not just for the trained pastors, not just for the leaders of the church. This is for every believer. Who is Jesus talking this to? He could have said, like if you go back to chapter 10, these 11 were apostles as well. He could have, you know, Matthew could have recorded. Now he said to the 11 apostles, no, he didn't say that. He said, for the 11 disciples. He commanded these, the Great Commission, what we know as Great Commission, to the disciples, not as apostles, not as evangelists, not as pastors, but to disciples. If you're a disciple of Christ, this is your job. This is my job. This is our job. This is our task. Go is just the first step. Make disciples. That is the purpose. Sometimes we do the going, trying to make friends. But we take too long to kind of share the gospel, and it kind of getting more difficult, isn't it, sometimes? We need to always have that mind in our forehead. Why I am going? The reason why I'm going is to make disciples. Disciples for the reason, Lord, because He has said so. We need to remember that. When we go for a walk, we need to remember when we said hello to some friends. When we go for shopping, when we go around town, meeting friends, we need to remember the reason why I am going is to make disciples. We tell them the good news. What is the good news? Tell them about creation. Tell them about man in his sinfulness. Tell them about the Redeemer. Tell them about the hope that we have, eternal hope. Or some people call it creation for redemption, new creation. Tell them about God the Creator and His creation. Today, people are so confused about creation. That is the gospel. There is a God who created. And He created man, male and female in His own image. People are so confused about genders in this country. We need to tell people. I'm not saying that they want to hear. I'm not saying that they won't oppose. We need to tell people. Maybe begin there. Tell them about man in his sinful state. They might not like to hear it. You might be scared to tell them. But we are commanded. Not only that, tell them that Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the God-man who took on human flesh. And 2,000 years ago, he died on that cross and he defeated death. And through that, we have true hope. Eternal life is guaranteed though for those who responded in faith and repentance. Beg them to respond in faith. Pray with them. That is the gospel, isn't it? Not only that, baptizing them. I'm not going to talk about baptism here. But baptism shows someone is making a bold claim before God and man. Here I stand. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was in darkness, but I come to light now. Let them claim that claim right in front of your church. We're not just asking people just to tag along, like, you know, like your electric car, just charge again a bit here, then you can go for the week and no. We ask them to switch side from the domain of darkness, the domain of Satan, to Jesus Christ. Not only that, teaching them all that Jesus has commanded. You will never exhaust this. There's plenty. You might think, well, I don't know how to teach. I'll just give you a very simple tip. If you know a non-Christian or even a brother or a sister, just open Genesis 1:1. That's a good place to start. Have a coffee and biscuit together. Spend an hour a week. God has the power. His word is powerful. Just open, read together. Don't be afraid that you don't know everything. God will be with you. Teaching them all that I have commanded you. There are 66 books. We have a library, which we call is the Bible. There's so many parts of it. So relevant for today. Even though some claim it is an ancient and unrelevant today. But I promise you, this is the word that changed lives. This is the word that gives people life. Well, what does it mean for us today? We know that we should go to Jesus. We should go for Jesus if we are going to make disciples of all nations. We are the nations. You are the nations. Nations is around us. But you might be scared. How can I do? Where can I go? Just think why God put you here. You might be a teacher, a doctor, accountant, classroom assistant, I don't know. Maybe you are in a home or I don't know. But think why God puts you there in your place and not somebody else. Dear friends, I know you might think, how can this be done so? Is it not for just the missionary? Is it not just if we support or pray for them? Is it not enough? But again, the God who defeated death and has all authority in heaven and on earth has commanded to his disciples, if you are a disciple of that, of the risen Lord, this is our task and responsibility. I want you to remember just his power. His power as you go. As you go for him. We're not commanded by a prime minister or a dictator or someone powerful in our community. We're commanded by Jesus who defeated death. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is on him he possesses. We're commanded by him. I don't know, how can I say that even in a better way? It is daunting. We are commanded by Jesus. So that makes that we have the right to proclaim, isn't it? We have the right to proclaim. Our community might oppose to us, our country, or our social circumstance might not be fitting to share the gospel, but we have been commanded by this Jesus. We have the right. And everyone has the right to hear this. Everyone has to hear this good news. Remember his power. Not only that, remember his presence. Remember his presence. We know God is everywhere. What we call his omnipresence means he is everywhere. There is nowhere on earth his presence is absent. And yet, Jesus especially say here, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Especially if we go for him to make disciples of all nations, he promised that he is with us. The God Emmanuel, the God who is with us always. Well, dear friends, if we are going to go for Jesus, first we need to go to Jesus, gather together with the saints. It might sound redundant, but Jesus commanded it. It is important that we go for our restoration. We go for our reassurance. We need to obey him so that we can go for Jesus in making disciples of all nations. May God bless us to be effective disciple makers for his kingdom. God bless us all.